Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Autodoc's conference call on our full year results. Together with me are Dmitry Zaloroshny, CEO, and Lennart Schmidt, CFO. Both of them will lead you through a presentation, and you will have the opportunity to ask questions afterwards. You might already queue for questions during the presentation by pressing the blue live Q&A button in the webcast and by following the instructions. Our goal is not to take more than 60 minutes of your time today. And one last technical thing, this call will be recorded. Let me now turn the floor over to Dmitry.
Thank you, Stephanie, and good morning, everyone, and very warm welcome to our full year 2025 results presentation. Yeah, happy to be here today and happy to speak about the new successful year of Autodoc. And yeah, I'm the CEO of the company, so for me it is a big pleasure to introduce the results to you. So Stephanie, we can jump directly into the material if you don't mind. Yeah, so actually 2025 was a new successful year of Autodoc. We were busy as a company building even more robust and strong foundation of the company, and together with that, developing the business, developing the new units and new lines of the business. And I think that we've made pretty good success in this direction. So now I'm going to speak about general operational and financial highlights. So actually, first of all, we are contributing massively into our product and assortment strategy. Our product range grew by 60%, and now we have roughly around 7.8 million of products searchable on our platforms, both app, web, B2B platform. And we were working hard on extending our private brand range. So the product line has expanded by 19.7%, and now we have 94,000 of SKUs or items available in our private brands line. Just to remind you, it is our brand Riddix, the biggest one, then it goes Stark, and the brand tailored for the B2B needs, which is GoCore, quite young, but picking up quickly. Then regarding the sales, in total, we've sold 72.5 million of items during the year, which showed us a strong increase in the number of items sold of 10.7%. And our sales revenue, adjusted EBITDA, net profit, continued upwards trend, which is a very nice music to us as a management board of the company. And together with that, we have a strong free cash flow despite all the investments that we are doing in our young B2B business and in our supply chain. Regarding the strategic achievements and what we would like to highlight, first of all, we've done a great progress in the SCM or supply chain optimization, automating our warehouse in Czech Republic. We were continuing and putting pretty much effort on our B2B rollout, and B2B now contributes a pretty good portion of the sales of the company, so it is increasing. We are coming closer to building our well-deserved and desired technological ecosystem in the automotive aftermarket in Europe. So we have started our marketplace, and this is the good step towards our mission. And of course, everyone is looking carefully into the AI topic. We are in the AI area for a pretty long time, and we are applying AI to our products, offerings, platforms whenever we actually can to optimize our operations and actually to fuel up the business that we do. Yeah, on the next slide, just a few more details on the our Czech Republic warehouse automation project. So 2025 was a year of a large progress in this regard. Just to remind you, we're building a fully automated warehouse with the shuttle system, which is now actually extended through two halls of this 27,000 square meters facility. So it is a really huge construction inside the facility. And all the mechanical and electrical installations are going by schedule in the facility, all built successfully with no big hiccups. And the project is proceeding exactly according to the schedule. And we are planning to finalize the project, including the software infrastructure by the end of 2026. So it will be a ready-to-use solution for us. The next big thing on the next slide, again, reminding you that in 2025, in the beginning of 2025, we have just launched our marketplace model, and it was expanding and building up pretty fast. So we have gained more than 400 sellers on board, bringing up roughly around 1.2 million of SKUs. And in total, we've done around 15.5 million of GMV during 2025. So we have the marketplace activated in 10 countries. The most recent one opened in Q4 2025 was United Kingdom, which is a big actually expectation for us. And during the year of 2026, we're going to expand and roll out the marketplace in Nordics and Poland. So first of all, we are with marketplace, we are trying to get closer to our goal to become a go-to platform for vehicles, part and accessories in Europe, actually bringing up more relevant assortment to our customers. And we are trying to combine the customer focus and customer experience with our technological innovations. As you can see, the GMV is growing confidently and strong during 2025. So each quarter we have an increased growth. And by the way, it is continuing in 2026, which is good for us. So a marketplace is a big new step for Autodoc going forward. And by the way, a big lever and a big power. Regarding B2B business, so B2B business more than doubled in 2025. So the concept was again proven by the financial performance and operational performance. Actually, just to remind you that the B2B business or Autodoc Pro platform was implemented and tested in France since 2022 with the step-by-step rollout driven carefully by local needs with the support of service agents on the ground. And our offering has expanded during these years to Germany, Netherlands, Italy, Belgium, and Austria. Yeah, Austria is still in a test phase. It is a small region for us. We are actually trying different concepts and different practices in Austria. And all the B2B business is aligned with our ambition to be a reliable and convenient partner for the professional customers across Europe. And we are trying to give more cost-saving opportunities to the garages, actually to improve their profitability. Also, we are doing the returns handling and on-site support, training people on the ground, and explaining and provisioning our IT services to them if needed. So in total, we have achieved the connection of more than 35,000 garages with the service level, which correlates with the demand of the customers. So regarding the markets, as you can see, France is the biggest one for us. Yeah, it has improved or increased in the meaning of number of connected garages by 40%. Now we have 23,000 garages connected in France. We have massively grew in Germany. So we have now Roughly around 6,000 top garages connected in Germany, so the market is very receptive to what we do. Austria, as I said, is relatively small. We're testing different hypotheses and concepts in Austria before we do the full-blown rollout, but the market is relatively small for us, so therefore not that much full of expectations, let's say. Yeah, Netherlands, Belgium, Italy are also young markets for us, but growing pretty well. We are deploying the teams on the ground. We are training people, coaching, and actually starting with connecting zones in the countries one by one, and it is going by schedule pretty well. Yeah, and the most, I would say, the most discussed topic in the in different communities is the AI. So on the next slide, I would like just to explain that we are living with AI, or we have started with machine learning pretty long ago in 2020 or 2021. So this topic for us is almost native, and now we are trying to apply the AI technologies and techniques primarily in agentic commerce and customer AI. So we're exploring now the Google Universal Commerce Platform and OpenAI agentic commerce platform to enable the agents being able to search, compare, and buy goods for us. The platforms which I'm talking about from Google and OpenAI are not yet rolled out in Europe. We are, let's say, doing our investigations and analysis, but we would be one of the first ones to adopt these technologies while they are available in the European market. And we are again scaling our core AI conversational commerce, which actually supports our customer care department. We are handling a massive number of incoming customer requests and inquiries with the AI agents quite successfully. And now we are exploring the mobile AI mechanic, actually AI agent, which would help our customers to handle their day-to-day stuff related to the vehicles more effective and in a more friendly manner. Yeah. Again, we have invested pretty a lot of knowledge and effort into the AI visibility and building of authority in AI agents and AI assistants. So actually we are tracking all the LLM activities that are present in front of us. We are capturing more incoming traffic. We are capturing more crawls or scraping activities from the AI bots, and for us it makes huge sense because we are actually adopting all our contact, all our text, graphics to be machine readable, and that helps increasing visibility in the AI assistant. So actually now when you speak to AI assistant, would it be ChatGPT or Google Gemini, if you speak about auto parts, Autodoc would be definitely mentioned as one of the trusted sources. Yeah. So, and of course, we are taking care of the internal operations and efficiency. First of all, we're deploying the AI agents within our engineering teams. We're trying to accelerate the product development and lifecycle with AI agents. We are developing our own no-code automation platform for corporate IT needs. And we are implementing AI agents from different providers to help our product managers, product owners to write the documentation, to write the requirements, documents, etc., which actually is time-consumable. Now we have these things pretty well automated. Yeah. On the next slide, just to explain to you that we are enriching our tool belt of the AI technologies that we are using and adopting within the company. I won't list all the companies and players that that you may definitely know, of course. So just to show you that we are trying to adopt and try as much as we can. Yeah. And of course we have in general, historically, we have a high focus on velocity and quality. And now AI is proactively enhancing the speed of our development, the speed of our testing. And actually, mainly we are trying to apply technologies to the main bottlenecks that we historically had in this software development lifecycle processes. Yeah. And by 2026, our AI agents will assist us in actively managing systems and enable the platforms that optimize performance and stability. And actually, what I was talking about in the previous slide, in 2025, 45% of the total requests to the first line of support of our customer care via chat and voice and email channel were handled by core AI-powered chatbots. So we are developing massively the autonomous capabilities that will help us to improve the customer satisfaction going forward. Sorry, actually I was disconnected by some reason. Sorry for that. Can you hear me, Stephanie?
Yes, Dima, we hear you perfectly well.
Okay, sorry, so it was some kind of a glitch. Sorry for that. But with that, I'm handing over to, wait, I still have one more super important slide to go. So just to recap the success of 2025, all our main KPIs are growing and we are seeing pretty good progress in almost all the directions. So first of all, the number of orders has increased by 12.4%. Now we have generated around 18.9 million of orders in 2025. Therefore, we have slightly increased order frequency from our customers. First of all, thanks for B2B business, because B2B customers are ordering much more frequently, but the volume of the orders from B2B is not allowing to show the significant growth in order frequency. It will come with the B2B expansion. The very good news for us is that the customer base, which is, let's say, one of our biggest assets, is still growing pretty well. We have a 10.4% increase of the active customer base in 2025. And now we have 9.3 million of active customers. We have a slightly increased volume of the returns by 0.4 percentage points. This is more influenced by the B2B business, because the returns in B2B are naturally higher than in B2C. And we have a 3.3% increase in our average order value. First of all, it is increasing due to a higher average sale prices and a lower share of private brands, which are positioned at a lower pricing level than all third-party brands. So this all reflects the good traction and the good trajectory of growth for us in 2025. And with that, I'll hand over to Leonard Schmidt, our CFO, for the financial overview.
Thanks, and also a warm welcome from my side, everyone. So yeah, I'm very happy to be able to basically guide you through the successful financial year, which we have used to prepare also for future growth. So looking at the summary chart here, you can see sales revenue in 2025 increased by 16.3% to 1.8 billion euro. Clearly within our guided range of a growth of 14 to 19%. Gross profit rose along with revenue by 15.4% and brought us to a gross profit margin of 41.8%, slightly below last year, mainly driven by the strong B2B growth. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 8.1% to 163.8 million. and a margin of 9.1%. So also here, we're delivering within our guided range of 9%-9.8%. Net profit, a very positive surprise here. We have increased net profit on IFRS by nearly 60% to 58.8 million. Free cash flow, Dima mentioned it already. We had a strong free cash flow generation of 84 million in the year. I'll dive into that also a little bit more in detail later. And that strengthened ultimately our cash position to 146 million cash on hand, despite being able to pay out a dividend in the magnitude of nearly 60 million in the second quarter. So we continue our generous dividend payout while generating cash. And then you will see later our new guidance for 2026 with further growth to come. So now let's move into the presentation and the two segments. Here on that chart, you can see on the one hand, obviously, the group numbers that I've already summarized, but then the split into the customer segments of B2C and B2B. The B2C segment or the B2C customers are very clearly the strong backbone of what Autodoc is and what we've built. You can see a double-digit revenue growth at 12%, as well as a double-digit EBITDA margin at 10.4%. That is the backbone and a continuously strong performance. When we look into the B2B, that's one of the new and very strong growth levers. On the other hand, B2B, Dima mentioned it already, has more than doubled sales revenue in 2025. That comes at the cost of basically investment, and you can see on the bottom that adjusted EBITDA came in at -9.6 million. We were able to increase the margin from a -10% to -6.8%, but with the rollout, clearly, there is some upfront costs that we needed to go through. And Dima mentioned it already, for this year, we clearly have in focus to still continue rolling out B2B and continuously investing, but maturing the regions that we have opened already and therefore increasing profitability. Looking into the sales regions, here on that chart, you can see the performance by region. And what first of all stands out, all the regions that we are operating are growing significantly. Starting here with France, with a 23.5% growth, outstanding in our biggest country. Obviously, a main portion of that is also driven by the strong B2B growth. Germany, also a good performance with 12% growth. And if you look at Spain and Portugal, on the back of a strong trend towards usage of e-commerce, as well as on our side, new distributors and drop shippers that we onboarded in the region, we were able to increase sales by nearly 26%. So overall, very well diversified growth all over Europe. When we then look at the overall group P&L, again, just here a few more details. We have talked about the revenue growth of 16.3%, which is mainly driven by orders that were growing by 12.4%. Return rate kept at a low rate of 8.6%, slightly increasing on the back of more B2B sales, but still within a manageable range. Gross profit, I mentioned already, in absolute terms, slightly, so absolute terms, obviously growing. The gross profit margin slightly behind last year, mainly driven by a stronger B2B share of the business and also a bit of a shift in product mix. So we have seen strong sales in categories like oils and tires, for example, that were dragging a bit on mix overall on gross profit. Adjusted EBITDA, you can see, is increasing under proportion, still increased by 8.1%. Here, mainly it's to be mentioned the upfront costs of the ramp-up of our B2B business, with more service agents being hired and being operational in the regions that we have started. And on the other hand, the ramp-up cost of our new warehouse in Belgium that we need to go through in 2025. So overall, adjusted EBITDA margin at 9.1%, which is still, from my perspective, a very good margin if you do that comparison in the e-commerce sector. Then moving on into the two segments, getting a little bit more into the details on the B2C segment. We've mentioned the sales growth of 12% in B2C. You can see also that the gross profit margin stayed pretty stable. 0.1 percentage points decrease is mainly what I've mentioned before already, a matter of the mix shift. Even though pricing was a positive for B2C, as the mix shift would have weighted more than 0.1 percentage points. Looking then further down into the adjusted EBITDA, you can see a strong growth overall of around about 10%. The key drivers here are a lower administrative expense growth, on the other hand, a higher distribution expense growth in comparison to sales revenue. That higher distribution expenses were driven, as I mentioned already, mainly by the new warehouse in Belgium. But overall, B2C was a very strong growth in top line as well as profitability. When we then look into B2B, and here we can first of all again highlight that strong 110% growth in revenue. The majority of that growth still comes from France. France has scaled to more than 100 million of sales revenue in 2025, and that's only the third year of operation where they have reached more than 100 million. So quite an achievement, and basically showing us that the path that we are going there is the right one. Gross profit overall was a slight decrease year over year from 38% down to 36.8%. Main reason here is the rollout into new countries that are partially coming at a slightly lower gross margin in comparison to France, as well as some mix shifts impacting that here as well. Distribution expenses clearly below growing, but at a lower pace than the sales revenue. So the enhancements with the new warehouse in Belgium obviously at the beginning have high ramp-up costs, but then are getting operational and bringing down the distribution expenses in a way that we do not need to use express deliveries from our Berlin warehouse anymore, but are able to distribute from Belgium directly, mainly into the French market for B2B customers. So there is a very positive trend that we also expect to continue here in B2B. And then in the admin expense, obviously, that's also a build up of the teams that we need in the new regions that we have started in 2025. So overall, adjusted EBITDA came in at minus 9.6 million for B2B. Then moving into the P&L and an IFRS view, we have basically talked already about the operational topics on sales revenue as well as gross profit and down to the operating result. On the financial result and the financing cost, there's really nothing explicit to mention here. We have in the financing cost our new KfW loan that we use for the investments that we're doing in Czech Republic that are increasing the interest payments. On the other hand, we're using our cash to generate interest income in the finance income line. Just one point here. The administrative expenses, you can see that basically being stable. If you look from the outside P&L, that is also due to the fact that the share-based payments scheme and the long-term bonus scheme are having a much lower impact on 2025 in comparison to 2024. So that effect alone is basically a 60 million. So if you would basically take that out on that view here, the admin expenses would have been increased by 10%, which is probably more the fair view on that one. On the next one, we would move to CapEx or generally working capital. Very positive development from my point of view with regard to inventory. So we were able to increase sales by 16%. With keeping the inventory stable or even decreasing our inventory level, even though we have opened a new warehouse in Belgium. So quite nice work done there. And then on the trade receivables and trade payables, that's basically normal business operations. The payables increase as our business increases and is therefore creating a positive working capital overall for us. On the right-hand side, you can see the CapEx. We have guided for CapEx expenditure between 2 to 3% for 2025. We've now spent 30 million, so we slightly stayed below at 1.7% CapEx ratio. The main cash out was related to the warehouse in Czech Republic. 26 million were flowing out in 2025. Overall, that automation project will cost us in the magnitude of 40 million. So the rest of that investment will be flowing out in 2026. Then coming to the cash bridge, as you can see, we've started the year with 88 million of cash and cash equivalents, had a very positive operating cash flow of 116 million. And the investments that I've mentioned already, higher than on normal years, but still 32 million brings us to a free cash flow of 84 million. We've paid dividends of nearly 60 million and had a cash injection of 37 million. So a positive financing activity in that regard to split the shares. Therefore, by year end, we're standing at a very nice cash position of 146 million euro. Coming then on to my last chart before I will hand over back to Dima on our outlook for 2026. For sales revenue, we expect continuous growth and expect the growth rate between 11 and 16%. On adjusted EBITDA, also here, we expect to continuously grow our profitability and the adjusted EBITDA, and we expect to come in at a range of 170 to 195 million. For CapEx, as said before, we will still continue the investments into our Czech distribution facility, and therefore this year we expect a CapEx ratio between 1 and 2%. Thereafter to come down when this investment is done. So with that, I'm really looking forward to a great 2026 and hand it over back to you, Dima.
Thank you, Leonard. Thanks a lot for the financial overview. And yes, actually, we have already defined the main trajectories that we're going to follow in 2026 and the main aspects which we're going to take care of. So first of all, we're going to take care of our bread and butter, our retail excellence and everything that we do towards our customers in both B2B and B2C. We're going to grow our assortment. We're going to work on our competitive pricing engines and techniques, as well as on the reliable fulfillment, which is the foundation of our trust and overall e-commerce excellence. Yeah, this we're gonna do with improving our supply chain. With Autodoc Marketplace, we are bringing more and more relevant assortment to our platforms, and we are growing our supplier base in 1P direction to maximize the profitability of what we actually deliver to our customers. Regarding the profitability, again, we are working and we are trying to have a strong grasp on balance between profitability and strength. It is only profitability and growth, sorry. It is all possible through the well-thought and market-responsive approaches in both B2C and B2B. On the other side, we're gonna we are investing and we are going to invest even more of our knowledge and effort in the customer experience and the relevance to our both B2B and B2C customers, improving our platforms. Yeah. So first of all, we are going to take care of our mobile first experience, going to take care of the expert guided journeys, and reducing the complexity of the overall navigation in the difficult automotive aftermarket segment. And the big team of 350 FTEs will help us to achieve those targets, because those people are fully dedicated to customer experience and development of the modern platforms to maximize the conversion rates and sales of the platforms that we are working with. And the big thing that we are always taking care of is the engagement within our customers, and we are working instantly on the loyalty programs and the overall customer life cycle. And our application is the best tool that we have in our inventory to help us being closer to the customers and reach them out whenever we suppose it is a good time and good offer for them. And therefore, we have more than 15 million of installs of our app in 2025, which again keeps us very close to our customer base. And trust is the cornerstone of what we do. Customers rely on Autodoc because of the fact that we are actually reassured at every step that we are the experts in the industry, and we can actually support our customers from the search of the parts that they are looking for to fitment and delivery. And that's why we actually produced a huge number of repair guides, more than 20,000, more than 3,700 of video tutorials. And on top of that, more than 100 people, 100 technicians are working in the customer support area to give a valuable advice to our customers when they are in trouble selecting the proper parts for their vehicles. On the next slide, that's a recap of what we're going to do in our supply chain. I have already mentioned our Czech warehouse and the ambitious automation project that we have, but at the same time, we're going to take care of the acceleration of our Ghent distribution center. Actually, the facility, the distribution center has ramped up with the optimized assortment already, and we will accelerate the growth in France, but with the help of this distribution center. And at the same time, we're going to enhance our cost efficiency. So when the warehouse will be fully ramped up, we will be able to do the late evening cutoff time for the next day delivery. And the delivery will be still focused on French B2B customers and B2C customers in France and Benelux regions. Just to remind you that the warehouse is capable to hold 150,000 of SKUs and able to process 14,000 of orders on the daily basis. And overall, we can actually now cover more than 60% of orders and fulfill them from stock. And in the B2B area, this number grows more than to 70%. So this more than 70% of orders are being able to be fulfilled from the stock. This gives us an opportunity to decrease our total cycle time to roughly around 2 days. That would be a total cycle time for the orders coming to our customers from stock. And the next thing that we are focused on, and we are still on track with the implementation of our B2B and the expansion of the B2B business, again, while being very careful about balancing between growth and profitability of the company in general. So as per today, we have already rolled out successfully the concept. We have the proper platform in place to help our B2B customers with all the digital tools that they require for their efficient operation, together with the on-ground support of our sales representatives, taking care of the return management training and on-site help. And working actively on the digital tools component of the B2B business, which will allow us to boost the operational efficiency of the garages by bringing up the tooling, the proper tooling for them for diagnostic needs, shop management, ST cost estimation, customer relation management, etc. And the third step for us would be the capability to build the better business between Autodoc and B2B customers, bringing up the leads from Autodoc B2C world or universe, and actually building more capabilities for garages to be able to outreach the customers and maximize their business performance. So that's our goal, to digitally empower workshops and transform being the driver of the transformation of the automotive aftermarket ecosystem. Yes, and with that, I think that we're gonna just recap again what we have achieved in 2025. We are really happy about the progress and success that we've made during the year, with the further ramp up of warehouse in Belgium, with the automation of the Czech warehouse, with very balanced B2B rollout in 6 countries, while keeping us still profitable and actually our cash generative view is confirming that fact. And we have expanded our Autodoc marketplace model to more than to 10 countries during 2025. As you have seen from the Leonard's part, we have sustained strong financial profile with strong sales revenue uplift and net profit also growing strongly. B2C, as our main and biggest part of business, continued to grow profitably with double-digit adjusted EBITDA margin, and we have more than doubled in the B2B sales, confirming the overall concept of the business. You have seen the ongoing strong cash flow generation, and we are pretty much optimistic about 2026 and the fact that we're gonna see you in a year with the same positive message and the same success story that we had for 2025. So together with that, handing over to Stephanie to open the Q&A session.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Dima. We'll now start the Q&A session. So ladies and gentlemen, anyone who's enabled for live Q&A and wishes to ask a question may press the blue Q&A button in the webcast and follow the instructions. I think we have a question now from...
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, Armin, now we hear you. Great.
Great, thank you. I've got two questions. First of all, when do you expect the B2B business to overtake the B2C business in terms of revenue? And second question, is there a new timeline or a target date for another IPO try?
Okay, thank you for the question. Actually, if we speak about the overtaking of the B2B over B2C, it is a long-term strategical topic, because we're not going to stop in the area of development of our B2C. And as you have seen, it is growing pretty solid and strong. Yeah. So in the course of next 3 to 5 years, we do not expect that B2B will overtake the B2C business. We are not trying to create the internal competition. We are trying to grow the business successfully and in a balanced way. Yeah. So no growth at any price. Still focused on profitability and being very pragmatic in this regard. So I hope this answered your first question. And regarding the second one, look, the company is prepared for any type of next further steps, including IPO, of course. As you can observe what's happening in the markets today, we cannot be confident about the proper IPO date or proper window. Yeah, so we will be here with you. We will update the investor community and all other stakeholders on a timely manner on our progress, and we will expect for the market environment and the situation to improve and to, let's say, provide us with the fertile soil for the successful IPO with the potential of the upside growth. So for now, we don't have exact date or window when we're gonna be public.
Thank you.
So I think we don't have any further questions. This would be your last chance to ask a question. No, that was it. Then Dima, back to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephanie. And again, for us, it was a pleasure to share the success of Autodoc in 2025 with all of you and with those who will be listening to the recording afterward. And yes, we feel very confident about what we are doing and about what company will deliver in 2026. So for us, it will be a new year. I wouldn't say that it will be an easy one. It is not walk in the park to do a successful business in e-commerce in a competitive environment, but of course we're going to do the best of what we can together with the teams and the people who usually support us. And yeah, hope to see you in our future quarterly update calls. Yeah, we're always happy to share the good news with you. Lennart?
No, Dima, nothing to add. Thank you very much, everyone, and talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.